see the Gemara on base of base. We're going to move on a little bit. Be a little shorter. We gave a little extra Seder time as we had a slow time getting going on some of the Marmakomos. But we're Ezra's Hashem plowing through. It says the Gemara, base of base, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. Again, so the prophet just said, we dealt with last time, we know that there are Avos, and then there are Toldos. And then we had the question, are the Avos and the Toldos, are the Toldos of the Avos Kayotze Ben, are they similar to them or not? So you present the reason there's a question, is because when it comes to Shabbos, the Toldos of Shabbos are Kayotze Ben. Good. Why are they Kayotze Ben? Because it's the same punishment, the same ramifications of the Malacha. Right? If you do it on purpose, Skila and Bishogeg, you are Chayave Chathos. Good. When it comes to Tumah, we said that they're Avos and Toldos, but they are not Kayotze Bohen. Why not? Because there are different ramifications. Right? An Av, a Tumah, is going to be Metame, Adam, and Kalim. Good. And a Rishon Tumah, which is the Toldah, is only going to be Metame, food and drink. Open Umashka. Excellent. So we have different types of Avos that are the Toldos, some are like the Avos, some are not. What's the pshat when it comes to Nezikin? So Rashi said, what is that question? The question is whether, right, do we say, right, Rashi Hafamai, do we say Loshna Av? Loshna Toda im Hizik Mishalim Odum Law. Do we say whether you do an Av, whether you do a Toldah? Then, if you do damage, you're going to have to pay or not. So we pointed out that's a little bit strange. What's about it, the damage, it has to fit into the parsha. Well, if you're not going to pay for it. So, either we suggested that Rashi means you are going to pay maybe different amounts, or maybe, as we did not mention last time, maybe a way to bridge in a sort of a bring the sugya full circle. Are there any other nafkaminas that we discussed about the damages in terms of not the, if I damage something beyond having to pay, what other aspect is there? We mentioned Rabbeinu Yonah, and we mentioned from the Yad Ramah as well. That what if I remember the case? If I take my baseball bat and I walk over to your Tesla and I bash in the windshield? And then I give you all of the cash necessary to fix it. Am I allowed to do that or not? Said? It's Zela. You said it's Usher. And we asked, why are Rabbeinu Yonah said, Zela? The Arama says, V'yahavta l'reyecha kamocha. Zekla v'adu v'atorah. V'yahavta l'reyecha kamocha. Oh, so but what do you see? That there is an Isser l'hazik. Oh, so maybe that's what Rashi means. It's another possibility in Rashi. Rashi says, what's the difference between an Av and a Tolda? And he says, if it's not Kayotze Bohen, maybe you only have to, in Hizik Mishalim when it comes to the Av, but in Hizik Lo Mishalim when it comes to the Tolda, so what's the impact of the fact that there's a Tolda? Maybe you violate the Isser. And if you violate the Isser, then what are you also obligated in potentially? Shmira, you have to watch it and ensure it doesn't happen. So maybe, again, it's not the simpler answer. It's a little more gishmak, a little more lumdus, a little more gishmak. If you are, maybe it comes to the Av, there is an Isser, there's an obligation to watch, and if you don't, you have to pay. Maybe by the Tolda, there's only an Isser and an obligation to watch, but there's no obligation to pay. Maybe that's at least what the question was in the Gemara. To which Rav Papa said, Yesh ben kayotze ben, some are kayotze, some are not. And that leaves us where we are now in terms of breaking down all of these Avos and told us what exactly are they. Okay? Rachman, question?
No.
Okay, good. I thought I saw your hand, sorry. I wasn't looking to pick on you. At least not for now. Yes?
I was discussing with the Rabbi over Shabbos, this Rashi.
Yes.
And he felt that he said, like, it seems very clear from Rashi that he's saying that you wouldn't have to pay.
That you would not have to pay. Good.
And that could just be like an affair. It still could be like a...
That's what we just said.
Yeah, like you get... It's not good to you. You don't have to do it, but like, it's... You don't have to pay necessarily.
As we said last time, they're not going to give you Machteriona. Or give you the CFL before an Eva. Meaning a big kiva. If you do have... No, the broken car gets every review, then you're not allowed to. That's an explicit Rambam. So, like other times, the Rambam says that if you're Mazik Amanas the Shalim, right, I will give you it. The way we said it last time was... I will, and I know you're going, you're not even home. You're not even home. So there's not going to be any, you know, lack of usage of your car. But I go into your driveway, and I bash the windshield of your Tesla. I pay for somebody to come to the house and clean out all the glass and put in a brand new, beautiful windshield, as good as the first one, and I pay for the entire thing. You would never even know that I violated Esther. The Rambam says, yes. Because you damage, you're not allowed to damage somebody else's thing, either because of those 6-0 or if you're half the right. The most other explanations given in Rishonim as well. Okay, let's go to today's Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Gimel Avos Netmu Bishor. There are three Avos within Shor. This is going to keep happening to us, guys. We thought that there are four Avos. What are the four Avos again?
Shor.
Mavet, Heber, or Ish, whatever you want to call it. Good. We thought all you have to remember are four Avos. The Gemara is going to do it here, the Gemara is going to do it again later, and then it's going to do it again later. It's going to keep adding Avos to Zikin. So now the Gemara says, when we said that Shor is an Av, it includes three Avos. Meaning it sounds like, so what did it mean when it said Shor? It's not identifying Shor as a specific Av. It's saying that an ox contains within it the potential to damage in three different ways. Each of those is a separate Av. What are the three? Hakeren, Vehashen, Veharagel. Hakeren, Vehashen, Veharagel. The horn, the tooth, and the foot.
It's just describing it.
Again? Why can't it be three different Avs
under one Av?
And then therefore they're toldos?
Yeah.
Because we have to figure out what makes something an Av, what makes something a toldo.
It's just describing it. It's just saying like, we say a short is an Av. What about a short is an Av? It's teeth that damages, it's legs that trample, and it's horn.
Right, again, how do we know? This is what the Gemara is going to go through. Because, right, remember, how do we figure out if something is an Av or not? What do we look at?
The Torah!
We look in the Torah. So every time now that we're trying to figure out how we know or if something is an Av, we got to go back to the Bible. We got to go back to the Torah and see if it's in a Pasuk. If it's in a Pasuk, it's an Av.
Well, I just love the question.
Yes.
But according to the third one, that we said it's Sheni, it contradicts this.
Excellent. This is obviously assuming, this Bryce is obviously assuming, not like Shmuel, that Shein is a separate Av, possible. Because it is and it isn't. I'll try to say it, it might be a little confusing, which I wasn't going to say it, but since you asked it, we'll say it. The Rishonim point this out, there's a Rashba that points this out, that Lefora, this Bryce should depend on the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Again, you guys understand the question? But let's try to make it. Where'd it go?
Oh, on the board.
It's the one from my pocket, don't worry. I don't let it go now that I finally got one. Okay. We said, right, that there are four Avos in the Mishnah, Shur, Bor, Machem, and Hever, H. Good, right? We all agree? So what don't we agree about already from the beginning, he said? Mavet. Right? What are the two options? Rav says?
Adam.
Good.
Shmuel says Shin.
Shmuel says Shin.
Shin.
Nice! Shin, I like that. Okay. That's a mnemonic. It's not an asmachta, because an asmachta is not a mnemonic, we talked about that yesterday. Fine. Shmuel Shin. Good. So now, if I have a Braisa that tells me that there are three avos of shor, which are again what?
Keren, Shein, and Regel.
With Ora, and that's what, and this is all under the category of shor. That means
Chas V'Shalom. Hela V'Hela different kind. I'm saying.
It means we need to understand Shmuel.
Are we posturing like, oh, yeah?
We need to understand. That's one second. Relax.
We're saying in this Braisa that under the category of Shur there are three things: Keren, Shein, and Regel. List Ora, we would say that the Braisa is going like Rav and not going like Shmuel. Right? Now, the problem with that is if Rav was the one with whom the Braisa was disagreeing, that wouldn't be so bad. Why? Because there's a special rule about Rav. What's the rule about Rav?
Monetary.
Rav.
Mamo.
Rav. Tana. Who call it? Rav was right on the border between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. So generally, Amoraim do not argue with Tanaim. That's how the whole Gemara works. We bring a statement to the Amoraim, then we say, Meisvei. We ask him a Braisa. And then we have to answer. Why do we have to answer it? Why don't we just say that the Amora was arguing on the Braisa? We say it in the Mishnayos all the time, everybody's arguing. So the answer is, in simple, is that there was a Kabbalah that the Amoraim made not to argue with the Tanaim. Not to argue with the Tanaim. And therefore, if I have a Braisa that asks on a Amora, that Amora better find another Pshat of the Braisa or a conflicting Braisa. As long as he can find another Tana with whom he can align himself, we're good. Right? But Rav is an exception. Rav has is an officially an Amora, but he has a quasi-Tana status. So Rav is allowed to argue on a Braisa. He's special. So if this Braisa was against Rav, that wouldn't be as bad. Shmuel, we have no rule. Shmuel, Tana, who would call it. So Shmuel would have a problem. So how do we get out of this according to Shmuel? So the simplest answer is this. We were assuming when we read this Braisa that the Braisa is trying to define Shor as it is written in the Bible or in the Mishnah? In the Mishnah. Right? We were assuming that shore here is the shore here. Which is why I said at the beginning, we just said that there were four of us, and now we're going to mix things up a little bit, because really now there are six of us. Not seven, right? Because shore here, we're not saying is in addition to these three, it's defined as these three. One way of counting it is summarizing it as shore, but there are three different avos within Shor. Good, right? Oh, there's another explanation of this Braisa, which you said before. Maybe what the Braisa is saying is Shor, if you want to summarize the three avos that relate to a Shor in the Torah, the three that are Keren, Shen, and Regel. Follow that? Again, if we're defining Shor in the Mishnah, then if Shein is included under Shor, Shein can't be included as Mamet, because then the Mishnah is counting it twice. But if all the Braisa is telling us is that there are three different avos that relate to an ox, I'm not trying to categorize them. We were jaded by the fact that we're trying to put everything as upos and totals and categorize and recategorize and subcategorize. So we saw this price, we're like, oh, we thought we had four, now we have, we have to figure out whether it's seven, whether it's six, so we can play around. You know what Shmuel would tell you? Shmuel would say, there's no problem here. I'm only giving you two more here. Shmuel would tell you, yeah, sure, the Mishnah refers to Keren and Regel. Because Shein is already included as Mavet. Why did they choose to do that? That's a question on the Mishnah that we didn't deal with. We have to deal with that when we get to the Sugat Gimel and Beis, and your Gemara magically opened up to if you want to learn that. But we'll get there. Ezra session. Ezra session. But according to Shmuel, again, this is the key point. According to Shmuel, this brayso, when it says Gimel Avos Nemru B'Shor, is just summarizing. I have all these different types of nezikin. A boar has nothing to do with the shore. Eish has nothing to do with the shore. But there are three avos that are written in the Torah that all have to do with the shore. Keren, Shen, and Regel. They're not all included under the shore of our Mishnah, but under the shore of the Torah, yes. So that was the point that I did not want to talk about. But does that answer your question? Okay, good. Okay, clear? Back here. Good. So there are three avos when it comes to shore, Keren, Shen, and Regel. Right? The horn, the tooth, and the foot or the leg. What are they referring to? Says Rashi, HaKeren. What is the Keren used for? In Goa, it is used to gore. Hashen, Lafol, to eat. Regel, Drisa, Lishbor, Esakeler. So what does that Rashi mean? Drisa lishbora sakela. Crushing it, stomping on it, trampling on it. Lishbora sakela.
Break.
To break kela, right? Sounds like what? Intention, right? It doesn't sound like Rashi is speaking to. Rashi speaking to what happened, right? If Rashi wanted to just tell us, he was trampling and happened to break Caleb, so then he would say, you know, Drisa, Bishavar is a Caleb. And he broke the Caleb. And then we would ask, well, why does he have to tell us that? We would just say, Drisa. Rashi seems, and we have to sort of put it on the back burner, because we have to define each category. Rashi seems to be telling us that an essential part of the quality of the Av is that it did it on purpose. Drisa Lishbor. Right, ani holeich lilmod. I am going to learn in the base measures. It's a goal. It's where I'm headed. Why did the animal do it? It wasn't that it was walking and accidentally stepped on something, but it saw that thing and the animal said, "Ha ha ha! I'm going to break that." And the animal broke it. So again, this is pointed out by the Rashash. I put at the end of the Gemara Makomos. You can see the Rashash inside, the Rashash in the back of the Gemara. But the Rashash sees that sensitivity in Rashi. The Rashi seems to be telling us there's a reason behind it. The reason.
He's going to be explicit about it in a moment when he says the distinction between why we have to do something.
Oh, good.
Well, it says that there's of course, the difference between, we have to make a distinction, the difference between the Tom and the Lord. Because, I mean, if he's saying that there has to be intention, then obviously the Tom, like, we wouldn't...
So let's see, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
The wouldn't have to pay the full amount, because it's not expected that he would go and take a horn.
I hear what you're saying. Again, you're suggesting...
If he's a Mu'ad, and if he has intention, we know that, obviously, this is an ox that goes and he likes to break things.
So we have to see about that. We have to see what the relationship is between Tom and Mu'ad, which are terms that we'll define in a moment if you guys haven't seen them inside yet, and intention. And is Tom versus Mu'ad just about intention, or is it something more than intention? But maybe 100% right. We definitely have to keep that in mind. Good. And again, it wouldn't be surprising. Rashi will often say things that he understands because of later on. He's just trying to clue us in because he knows that when you're up to this Rashi, you haven't seen the Gemara that you're referring to.
I thought that's why they brought in the price from Shabbos that, you know, about. And what I got from all that, because I had a question, I didn't think it made any sense to even compare Shabbos to Zekin, because they're totally different cases.
Right.
Where, you know, like the Avos and the Todos, like, first of all, for Shabbos, it's, you know, like, if I were to do, you know, an Av or a Toda,
yeah.
the only difference it would make is if we're talking about the Shogay. But amazing, as soon as I did an Av or a Toda, there was a Strauss, and somebody saw that I did it, I would already be Chayav Sila.
Right.
So we're not talking about amazing, and also Rashi points that out.
Right.
It's pretty obvious that we're talking about that.
That's how it's good.
So, like, concerning also what we were saying before about whether or not you can go and break someone's window, is that right. Zekin's not talking about doing it amazing, because even though, like obviously there's, like, different serum over there.
So we have to see. And Adda may be different. We haven't really talked about Adda. The Mishnah may not even talk about Adda.
I thought that's why the thing of the Gemara from Shabbos, because since it's not even a really comparable Gemara, and then we can't really go out.
I hear you, but the Gemara is comparing all four. So by the animals, you have to figure out, is there an idea of covenant of Lahat?
Well, that's why we have to make a distinction between, like, at what point is it Tom, what point is it Moed? Is it saying, like, at what point are we saying, okay, like, so we don't know that the ox is going to break something. You know, sometimes the ox breaks stuff, usually they don't.
Right.
At what point are we going to say, okay, well, it was three times that he killed somebody? Okay, well, obviously he's a killer. He's saying, we know that he's a trampler. That's what Rashi's trying to state, saying when it's going to break it, if you have that intention.
But you think it only becomes clear after the third time?
Well, that's not what I say. From the Pacific, you know, that we're talking about.
Pesukim just say the difference. Pesukim don't say that it's because
I
of Kavanah.
I also learned the sixth parrot, and I'm trying to.
Okay, so could we? I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying we haven't. The Pesukim themselves, when they distinguish between Tam and Mu'ah, don't say anything about Kavanah. Rishonim discuss, based on the Gemaras, what qualities are going to make the Tam and Mu'ah different, and that may be part of the discussion. Well, let's try to keep it on in this figure.
Yeah, Rashi says in this all this stuff
later on.
Yeah,
not yet.
Okay.
No. But again, it gets joint. The way Rashi works, and again, a large part of our focus is on Rashi, and then seeing the how Rashi helps us through the sugya, and Rashi so much that Rashi is revealing to us. Rashi will often reveal to us snippets that we need at the beginning, but based on things in the Gemara later on. Okay. So let's see what's going on here. So you see, he's saying again that we still get good, right? So we saw all of this. We have the three definitions: Karen, Shane, and Rego. Now it says the Gemara as follows. Who wants to read?
Nobody.
Oh, Timosha, take it away. Karen Minalad.
Karen Minalad.
Beautiful.
Right, so what do we know? What do we know that Karen is a problem?
Let's pick a different word than problem. Where does Karen
fit?
An ah.
Okay.
Right? Not a problem per se, but an ah. Good. And again, if we know that we're looking for Karen to be an ah, what do we need to look for?
A pasta. When an animal will bore.
Yes.
An animal will bore. So, Andy, do you think I love the carrot? And we know that only boring is only done with the horn. So, Shinemar, as it says in Lachim, the Ya'as goes to Yaben Kanana, Harney Bardel, Yomer Ko Amar Hashem, the Ela Elah Kaskar. Basically, made like an iron horn.
Okay, so the quick version of the story there, right, is again, I went through with some of you guys this morning, but we'll give a very, very shortened version of the story. But basically, we're talking about the period of time after this split between the Malka Yehuda and the Malka Yisrael. Yehoshaphat is the Melech of Yehuda, and Achab is the evil king of Yisrael.
Ooh.
Exactly. Things have been quiet with their neighbor Aram, who they were often fighting with, for a period of 3 years. Yehoshaphat goes to visit Achab for whatever the reason was, and Achab says, I had a great idea, why don't we go fight against Aram? So Yehoshaphat says, okay, good idea. You know what, before we go out to war, you know who we should check with? We should check with the Navi. So Achab brings his Nevi'ei HaBaal. Baal was the Avodah Zarah of the time, Shpitz Avodah Zarah. That's where everybody was worshipping Baal. Achab was encouraging the worship of Baal. Baal was the man. What is Baal?
That one was crazy.
Yeah, that one was crazy. So this is plain Baal. And he brings a whole bunch of these Nevi'im that are there. To which Yehoshaphat says, no, you have a real Navi. He goes, oh, there's one real Navi, Yichayahu. But he never says what I like, so I don't use him. So he says, well, I'd like him. So why don't we bring him? While they're waiting for him to be brought, one of the Nevi'i Baal, Zidkiah ben Kena'ana, fashions these horns out of barzel, out of iron, and he says that Be'ela Tinagach Esarah, he prophesies that with these horns, when the horns are symbolic, and you will destroy Aram.
Was he Navi Sheker, or he was actually Navi, but he turned evil?
Not sure. Not sure.
Well, so
I assume it was
concerning like Nebuah, that you know, like someone could actually have Nebuah, but if they don't go through proper training and proper.
A Nabi Sheker, a Nabi Sheker is a Nabi.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Not they just pretend. So.
No.
They just don't. They don't have like.
They well, they might make things up, but they have the basic qualities of Nebuah. Right, but the Torah describes it. Why is Hashem? Hashem is clear. He took him.
Also, they'll do miracles.
Yeah, they can do the Osimo face, right? The Bohar Osimo face.
Different stages of Nebuah, like you saying.
That's also true. When you talk about the Nevi'im training camp, like
you don't go through it perfectly.
Hagam Shaul Banavi'im. Good. So, oh, again, for our purposes, the significance of that pasuk is that the pasuk says Be'ela Tinagat Negira Es Arab. And what did he, was he going to do it with? Or the representation was with the keren. So now we see that negicha is in the Torah. It doesn't tell us what the negicha was being done with. So I bring a pasuk in Malachim, and the pasuk in Malachim says that negicha is done with a keren. We have all the information that we need, right?
Which is very interesting.
In what level? I mean, it happens to be interesting.
No, it's interesting because, well, I guess we have the later pasuk, but I was going to say, like, I think it would just bring the just a pasuk that shows in the Torah that Dafkas is Karen, not a connection to
Karen. Yeah, there is no pasuk in the Torah that says Karen.
But then we.
Oh, good. So let's get to the next part of the Gemara. Right? Then the Gemara brings the pasuk in the Torah. Beautiful.
I was wondering why just. The whole thing is it's asking why do we need the second pasuk?
Beautiful.
Supposed to why didn't they just give the second?
Well,
it doesn't go through that in the Gemara.
No, it doesn't. So we'll do it. So let's go through the Gemara first, make sure we put everything out there. Okay?
So
we bring a pasuk in Sefer Malachim, and that pasuk in Sefer Malachim shows us that Negicha and Keren are closely related.
And the Omer before Shor Hadar Lo the Karni Rain Karnav Behen Amir Yigamea. So this is like Moshe giving a bracha to Yosef.
Yes. He's before Shor, and you see that
it's
there.
A weird way to translate. I don't know. It's like oh, glorf, sovereign, like ox-like one. Majesty is his. This is how like.
If you read the Rashi and stuff like that, yeah, it's very poetic. But we see that the Karnei Re'im, its horns are like the horns of the Re'im, this mystical beast. Bohem, and with him, Amin and Agaf, you will see successful in Gorm. So you see again that Negicha and Keren go together. Good! So we want to figure out Negicha in the Torah. We have a pasuk that says Negicha. Pasuk doesn't tell us anything about what Negicha is done with. So we bring a pasuk in. Sefer Malachim that says that Negicha is the Keren, and we bring a pasuk in the Torah in Parshas Bosav Bracha that Negicha is the Keren. Asks the Gemara the obvious question. What's the question the Gemara asks?
Why do we need
the Welch? Maiga Omer. What's the Omer? Why pasuk number two? Right? Says the Gemara. Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Pitema, and if you want to say so, suggesting an answer is probably going to get rejected. That's, is that the Pitema always like that?
Yes.
Okay. So, Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah, all of them. So, I don't know what Divrei Kabbalah is, so I'm going to Rashi and it says,
oh.
Nevi'im Rishis, so not.
You so say, it made my day. Didn't know it looked at Rashi.
So, basically, if you want to say that what? Because we don't learn halacha from Nath. I assume Divrei Torah means halacha, right?
What?
Divrei Torah means halacha?
Yes. I'm not going to say that later on, yeah.
So we don't learn halacha from now. So if you want to say that's why we need another pasuk, because that pasuk is from Torah.
Right.
So Tashma b'chor shor hadar lo. So therefore, I'll teach that to teach us no need a pasuk
right.
That's referenced.
So answer number one of the Gemara. Again, the question of the Gemara was, right, why two psukim? So the Gemara's first answer, right, answer one, is you might say, Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, etc. Right? You can't learn out Divrei Torah, the definition of Negicha in the Torah, you can't learn it out from Pasuk in.
Why?
How do we know that? Yeah, the Rashi will explain to us in a moment. But, so if we said, so therefore, we bring the pasuk of before Shoro Hadar Lo.
Rashi has a crazy question.
One second. So we're good? So that's the Gemara at this point. Dibre Kabbalah again refers to the words of the Nevi'im. Why would we not be able to learn out mitzvos from the words of the Nevi'im? Right? We say it in the Animam, it's one of the Kari Amuna. Right? This is the Torah. And in Navi Rasha Khalid Lover, Navi can't add. As simple as that. Right? So the Navi cannot add. So if it's not included in the Torah, the Navi can add it in the Rabbanan, the Navi can, we'll see what else the Navi can do in a moment. But the Navi can't add. The Torah is a defined work, all the mitzvos, all of it was given in the Torah. So if you say the
Rabbanan, that's a whole sentence.
A lot of separate discussions, but that's the Rabbanan. Perfect the Rabbanan. Can't add mitzvos to the Torah. Oh! The Gemara asks, aren't they gober? The high melefu?
So we're not learning anything from the... We're not learning deeper into it.
Are we really learning anything out here? Giloi.
Just revealing something.
Ba'alma. Right? Giloi Milsa Ba'alma Hu. We're just revealing something. What are we revealing?
The Negicha B'Keren.
The Alma in general.
Yeah, but the way you translate. You translate like that, it literally sounds weird. Basically just saying this, it's just revealing something, it's not trying to bring it
home. That's exactly what it's saying. Look at Rashi. V'hai melechu, zok Rashi.
Okay, so this is a question.
Right, v'hai melechu, bit me off, is the question. What's the question?
Halo gami midibra kabbalah, we're not learning from Dibra kabbalah, lo chiyu, lo chiyu, we're not learning halacha.
Oh, we can't. Halo gaminam. You're not allowed midivrei kabbalah to learn midivrei kabbalah lo chiyuv v'lo p'tur. Lo chiyuv v'lo p'tur. We can't learn out obligations or to absolve ourselves of obligations that are otherwise in the Torah. So what, in terms of the halachic construct of our lives, what are we allowed to do or what are we supposed to do with midivrei kabbalah, the words of the Navi?
Hello, only on reveal things. Everything here that's written is just showing that Negicha is laid in Karen.
I think it's anyone
Negicha
is laid in
Karen.
Oh.
Negicha is done with a Karen.
Is that where we learn out this rule? Is this Gemara where we learn out this rule?
No.
So then why are we even mentioning it here? Why even say the Mechitah?
Good. What was the... we'll have to try to get that. Also, let's make sure the point is clear. What the difference is, and then we'll hopefully try to get there. Again, so what is Rashi telling us? And what's the purpose of Tanakh in terms of the halachic construct? Tanakh serves as a halachic dictionary. Do you learn anything new from a dictionary? No. You define terms in a dictionary. So we can use the Tanakh as a way of defining what terms mean. So we say the Victoria Midire Kabbalah Lo Yafidan. We reject this answer because, right, Mav Yafusa. It's not a Yafusa, it's not a drasha at all. It is Giloy Mosa. And the Gila Nosa is a halachic dictionary. Maritzvius in the back says that explicitly in terms of Gila Nosa. That's what Rashi means. Good?
Yeah, I personally read Rashi a little bit different, but
okay, how did you read Rashi?
The way I translated was like, Bidmiya finds it's a question. Actually, I thought it meant like a wonderment, but that's what everyone says.
Meant a what?
No, Bidmiya, like, it's a wonderment. Did ever hear someone say that?
Yeah, that's a question.
Yeah.
It's a fancy word for a question.
Yeah, and then, Halo Gamrinan.
Because the word Tema could be a wonder.
Yeah. So, Halo Gamrinan, Bidibra, Kabbalah, Lothia, Bidibra, Torah. I thought that meant this, where we say the idea that you can't learn out from Bidibra, Kabbalah, if it's talking about specifically lo chayav lo patur, meaning you can't run out chayuvim and things that are exempt. It's basically the same thing. Your way is probably better. So
I'm not sure the difference is. I mean, maybe no.
Maybe it was better. I don't know. You're not allowed to learn out things from Kabbalah, Lokhe, and Lokhantar. I said, Halo, Gamrina, Medibra, Kabbalah. This idea that you don't learn out, it only applies to Lokhe, and Lokhantar.
I think we're
saying
the same thing.
Okay.
I think we're good. I think we're good. So again, let's just get the flow of the Gemara, then we'll deal with the questions on the Gemara. Right? So the Gemara says, the Gemara brings out a question, why to Sukkim? Gemara suggests an answer, and the Gemara rejects that answer. Gemara rejects that answer, so what do we now need to do? That's what? It's a new answer. We have to still answer this question. We still don't know. We still don't know why the Gemara gave us two psukim to tell us the exact same thing. Yes? Habibi, we're good? Again, quickly. Gemara brought two psukim to show that Karen in the Negiva is with the Karen, right? The Gemara says that there are two psukim that prove that he gives the carrot. The Gemara says, why do I need to psukim? So the Gemara suggests that it's because the first pasuk isn't good, because you're learning out from Dibri Kabbalah, Dibri Torah from Dibri Kabbalah. So the Gemara says, nah, don't worry about that, because we're not really learning it out. We're really just using it as a halachic dictionary. We're defining the term. And we see from the Navi that the term Negifa refers to that which is done with a carrot. But now we still need to answer question. So why do we need two psukim? Good? Okay, let's see the answer to the Gemara, and then we'll have to go back. Maybe today we'll just summarize the questions because we're short on time.
We're actually getting it from Dvarim.
We're getting one pasuk from Dvarim and one pasuk from Malachim. Why do we need both? That's the question. Why do I need to bring two psukim?
Yeah, but we're showing that Karen means Yifa through the pasuk from Dvarim.
And the pasuk from Malachim, both of them.
We just said we can't get it from Pasuk Malachim. So it has to be, it's only getting it.
No, we said we can. Because it's not, it's just using it as a halachic dictionary. It is permitted to use Malachim as a halachic dictionary. I can't learn out a new law from something which is not in the five books of the Torah. If it's in Navi and it sounds like a brand new law, then maybe it was just for that period of time or something. It's not binding for all time. It's not at the full status of in the Torah. But using it to define a term, and the Gemara does this in other places also, using it to define a term that appears in the Torah, that I'm allowed to do. So there's no penalty flag if you use the Pasuk and Malachim to tell us what Negifa means. But if that's true, then I still have to Pesukim, and I'm back to the question of my Homer. Okay? So what is the Gemara answer? So the answer is the Gemara, right behind me. It's just revealing that Negifa is done with a Karen. Anybody want to attempt the final answer of the Gemara? You want to try? Read this final answer of the Gemara?
Oh, to go on in the Gemara.
Yeah. Go for it. Loud and clear. Ella.
Ella, what would you have thought? When Torah argues or differentiates between Tan and Uai?
Yes.
Try to find what the words are.
That would be great.
So Tan literally means wholesome thing or simple thing. And I don't know what it literally means, but I think in this context it's referring to a shore that is more so innocent. I want to say
more so innocent.
More so
because I don't know what that means in English.
What?
What is more so?
Because we see in Rashi, it's not so. Originally, I thought before coming to this Gemara, I thought a Tom was just a shore that has never been before, and a Muad is a shore that has never. I mean, a shore that has worn before, it has been worn, and its master has been warned about its goring, and the master needs to take care of it, or else there will be repercussions.
Right.
Until I saw Rashi today, and then my mind was blown.
sure what it is.
Okay, so hold on one second.
Torah tells us, Parshas Mishpatim, Parak Aval, Pasuk Lamed Hey. If he goes to each a shorei of a base.
If Yeshua, we'll take borders for now because it's the easiest way of translating it. If Yeshua kills another shore,
you have to pay half the value of the dead ox. Again, with very complicated details how that's calculated, we'll figure that out. That's a tam. Tam is a shore that has never gored before, and the punishment is you have to pay, and this will have to remember for the rest of your lives. The term is chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek, the term's going to appear everywhere. You pay half of the damage. The next pasuk says.
Okay, comment on that.
It's fine.
I thought it's not necessarily that you didn't gore before. I thought it's more of like if it's not a either like I think it's because my thought was like two or three times.
Well, correct me the next pasuk.
Oh, sorry.
Right. Oh no, that is your nagafu mitmos alom leishman and balav shlem shetachad esur amesi alo. If it already has gored and been warned in more details three times. Which means after the first time it's still a tom, you're saying, and after the second time it's still a tom, and when it does it the third time until after, it's also a tom. So the first three times it would be chatzi nezek. From the fourth time and on, if it was warned, and the owner was warned to watch out, it's a shor hagud, and it would have to pay nezek shalem. Whole nezek. Again, with many, many more details that Bezos Hashem we will get to. But fundamentally, a tam is the first three times when it's simple and it's not a warned one, it's not one that we're expecting to gore, although we'll talk about the expectations later, but there's something we're alluding to a little bit earlier. And mu'ad is after the three times we pay nezek shalom. Okay?
Habitual gore.
So sit what?
Habitual gore.
Habitual gore.
Yeah.
Right now I'm talking about goring other oxen.
Gore a person.
You kill it after one. Kill it after one. Yeah. That's the previous.
So if they didn't kill it, I mean, killed three people because the owner said, no, my ox can't get that.
Well, yeah, again, many, many details here. This is what the distinction we need for now, in terms of understanding the Gemara of Paninu, is Chatzi Nezek versus Nezek Shalem. So says the Gemara, I would have thought, Mahu de Sema, keep polygrachamana bein tam lemuad. When the Torah distinguishes between tam and muad, what's the distinction of the Torah between tam and muad? How much you have to pay. Tam pays chatzi nezek, muad pays nezek shalem. So what I would have said if I didn't have two psukim, I would have said when does the Torah distinguish between the two is hani mili bitlusha. When it is, what is talush?
Detached.
Aval b'mechuberes, but if it is, what is it? The horn. If the horn is attached, mechubar, attached, ema kula mu'edes hi. I would have said it always pays as a mu'ar.
Do it again.
I would have said the pasuk, the psukim in the Torah that say that the difference between goring, between a tam and a muad, are only referring to when it is detached, not referring to when it is attached. If it is attached, then you would have to always pay as a muad. Okay. Did you guys have a chance to look at this during Seder? This is kind of what you guys got up to. You got all this? Okay. Oh, we're running out of time. So I think it makes sense. Let's pick up with these lines of the Gemara tomorrow. We'll deal with some of the other questions, and then Be'ezus Hashem, we'll move on a little bit also. But this is what we can think about tonight. Hopefully it won't keep us up for too long at night. But what is this distinction between whether it is Talush or Mechubar, even as a Hava Amina? Again, the Gemara is going to reject it. But we have to understand Hava Amina as well. Okay? So again, we got sidetracked a little bit with some other things, but there are Shavuot and other things. Interesting stuff, so I'm happy we did. But we'll pick up Ezra Hashem tomorrow morning with this point and the cheer, and we'll move on to the next sugya as well. Okay? Shkoyah!